Certainly good to see everyone out this morning. I know the weather's not the best it can be. One afternoon, a man was riding in the back of a limousine. He was a businessman. And he was looking out the window, and he saw two men eating grass by the roadside. He ordered his driver to stop, and he got out to investigate. He said, "Why are you eating grass?" he asked one man. "I don't have any money for food," the poor man replied. "Oh, come along with me then," the businessman said. He said, "But sir, I have a wife and two children." He says, "Well, bring them also along with you." And he told the second man, "Why don't you come too?" He says, "Well, I have a wife and six children. I have a big limousine. Bring them all along." So they all climbed into the long limousine and left. One of the poor fellows looked at the rich man and said, "Sir, you are too kind. Thank you for taking care of us and taking us with you." The rich man replied, No, you don't understand. The grass at my house is about 3 feet tall." Where has our compassion gone in this world? We live in this hustle-bustle, ho-hum, humdrum type of life. You know, we have the American influences, TV, movie stereotypes of the hard and mean people that they have around. We become like doctors sometimes, callous to the effects and how people get hurt around us. We see so much devastation that it almost becomes not something special to us, but it just becomes something that happens and we watch it pass by. It reminded me of a little joke. A doctor, a nurse, an HMO executive or CEO die and go to heaven. Well, they meet Peter at the pearly gates, and he asks the doctor, "Why should you be allowed to come into heaven?" And the doctor says, "Well, I've healed a lot of people. I've helped people. I've even healed people who didn't have money and just forgave the bill and did all I could." He said, "Well, that's good. Come on in." And the nurse walks up and he asks the same question. She replies, "Well, I helped the doctor and I helped these people. I give them advice. I did all this. Sometimes didn't get paid for it." He says, "Well, that's good. Come on in too." So the HMO executive walks up and he asks him the same question. "Why should you be allowed to come to heaven?" He says, "Well, I'm kind of related to these people because I'm the guy who paid the bills and did this and that and got these people paid, you know, the doctor and the nurse, so that they could survive." And Peter thinks for a little bit, and he says, "Okay, but you can only stay 2 days." You know, in this world where we limit people and the help that we'll give them, you know, it just kind of reminds us of just how hard this world is. You know, it's all about money sometimes. It's all about what we get. It's all about a matter of convenience, whether we can or cannot help someone. But Jesus had compassion. He showed it. And sometimes it wasn't always convenient for him. And, you know, we need to show it and have compassion also on those around us. We're going to look at John, the 11th chapter, in verse 33. Some of the most beautiful verses I love to read. In John 11, 33, "When Jesus, therefore, saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled." Now, the background of the story here is that Lazarus was dying. And he called Jesus and said, "Jesus, come heal him. He's dying." But Jesus delayed, because he was going to work a great miracle. One of the greatest miracles he could perform in front of these people. He allowed his friend Lazarus to die. And here was these people who were weeping. It said, the Greek New Testament talks about he groaned in the spirit. It deeply troubled him. Now we know that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. So we think, well, what's the big deal? He's going to raise him from the dead anyway. But he felt the pain of his family, Lazarus' family. He felt their deep distress. And even though he was going to perform a great miracle through them, it still troubled him that they were distressed, that they pained, and that they felt bad. You know, how a person feels and that compassion they show has a big effect on how they're perceived in life. In 1921, Lewis Laws became warden of Sing Sing Prison. No prison was tougher than Sing Sing during that time. But when Warden Laws retired some 20 years later, the prison had become a humanitarian institution. Those who studied the system said credit for the change belonged to Laws. But when he was asked about the transformation, here's what he said: "I owe it all to my wonderful wife, Catherine, who is buried outside the prison walls." Catherine Laws was a young mother with three children. When her husband became the warden of that institution, everyone warned her from the beginning that she should never set foot inside the prison walls. But that didn't stop Catherine. When the first prison basketball game was held, she went, walking into the gym with her three beautiful kids, and she sat in the stands with the inmates. Her attitude was, "My husband and I are going to take care of these men. And I believe they will take care of me. I don't have to worry." She insisted on getting acquainted with them and their records. She discovered one convicted murderer who was blind, so she paid him a visit. Holding his hand to hers, she said, "Do you read Braille?" "What's Braille?" he asked. Then she taught him how to read. Years later, he would weep in love for her. Later, Catherine found a deaf-mute in prison. She went to school to learn how to do sign language. Many said Catherine Laws was the body of Jesus that came alive to Sing Sing from 21 to 37. Then she was tragically killed in a car accident. The next morning, Lewis Laws didn't come to work, so the acting warden took his place. It seemed almost instantly that the prisoners knew something was wrong. The following day, her body was resting in the casket in her home, 3/4 of a mile from the prison. As the acting warden took his early morning walk, he was shocked to see a large crowd of the toughest, hardest-looking criminals gathered like a herd of animals at the main gate. He came closer and noticed tears of grief and sadness in their eyes. He knew how much they loved this wonderful woman. He turned and faced the men. "All right, men, you can go. Just be sure to check in tonight." Then he opened the gate, and a parade of criminals walked without guards for 3/4 of a mile to stand in line to pay their final respects to Catherine Laws, a woman who made a difference in their lives. And every one of them checked back in, every last one of them. Then no one failed to check in that night. You know, that's the kind of effect that compassion has on people. We can change the hardest heart into one that is receptive and respectful. These men, though the roughest characters New York had produced, all knew the love of this woman. But Jesus showed compassion. If we look, verse 34 and 35, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." In verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus had compassion and acted upon that emotional healing. Jesus didn't just wish them well or hope them well. He acted upon that. In Matthew 9:36, and Matthew 14:14, and Matthew 15:32, and 20:34, and Luke 15:20, Jesus acted on the compassion he felt for those around him. You can say many words of comfort, but actions say it all. You see, our expressions tell people a lot about us, our character, and shows our sincerity, that we really believe and apply the words of God. And verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible that I think says so much. It's so powerful. He cares even though he knows the outcome will be for good. He weeps with us and rejoices with us. When we go through the trials of life, God is out there weeping with us as we go through those times. And as Christians together, we need to weep together and help those who are going through the bad times, so that when it's our bad times, they're there for us to share the love of Christ, to share the love of God, to help people through those times. And we need to help, to have, and to show compassion. In the 36th verse of chapter 11, "And so the Jews were saying, 'Behold, how he loved him.'" They saw that he cared deeply. They saw that Jesus loved this person, loved that family, all the while knowing he was going to raise Lazarus. But the pain that they felt, he felt at that time too. The pain of losing a loved one is a terrible thing. You know, we have to go through it, and we hope not soon or very often. Even though Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus, he knew the pain they felt. People see that we care when we laugh with them. We celebrate their good times. And when we share in their anguish and cry with them when times are bad, that we truly and deeply care for them as a brother or sister. Colossians 3:12 tells us to clothe yourself with compassion. We should wear compassion like the clothes. You know, we talked about the rich man's limousine. You think his suit was probably pretty good, an expensive suit. Not one that we get at Sears or Penny's or any of those other places, but one finely tailored of good material. And you could tell that this man was rich. His clothes said money and power. What does our clothes tell people? And I'm going to talk about the clothes we're wearing, but the compassion that's clothing that we should be wearing. Do we come off as someone of compassion? Do we come off as someone who cares about others? That's what Colossians 3:12 is telling us, that people should see that when they look at us. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. He didn't say get in fist fights or argue or anything like that, but to be kind and compassionate to one another. Today, our compassion goes one way. Tomorrow, someone else's compassion may come our way. 1 Peter 3:8, love his brothers. Be compassionate and humble. James 5:11, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You know, we're supposed to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And that goes with everything that God gives us, the blessings and the compassion that he showed us. We should be able to share those and help others along the way with that compassion, with what God has given to us. And compassion is not always easy or convenient. In the book of Matthew 14:9-14, Jesus was speaking to the multitude when he heard of John's beheading. And it greatly distressed him. He wanted to withdraw and pray, knowing that this terrible thing had happened and what his cousin John had went through in being in prison and in having his head cruelly chopped off of his body. And that deeply distressed Jesus. But here were these multitude of people who had listened to him all day and were hungry. And Jesus couldn't send them away that way. He put aside his needs for the needs of those around us. It's not always convenient to be compassionate. But there's no convenient time not to be compassionate. Because it's not always the good times when someone needs. Maybe it's the bad times. So we need to learn to share our compassion, not to turn inward, but to look outward to the needs of those around us, that we might share a little bit of Jesus with them, just as he shared food with these people. And even to our enemies, in Matthew 5:44, tells us to spread compassion to our enemies. That's not always easy. But being a Christian is not always an easy thing. We persevere through the good and the bad times. We go through these times as best we can. But you know what? There's someone else a little worse off than us. So we need to clothe ourselves in the compassion of Christ to help those when they need. Lincoln was campaigning for the presidency. And he had an arch enemy out there by the name of Edwin McMaster Stanton. Stanton hated Lincoln and degraded Lincoln with passion and cruelty. He said the most awful things you could say about a person, about Lincoln. But when Lincoln was elected president, when he was choosing his cabinet, he decided to choose Stanton for Secretary of War. All his counselors and those people who followed him said, why are you doing that? He hates you. Lincoln said, well, he's the best man for the job. And you know, at Lincoln's funeral, many good things were said about Lincoln. And one of the things that we always remember is that phrase, he now belongs to the ages. And that was said by Stanton. Kindness to our enemies can turn them around to our friends. And when we have a friend, that's someone we can share another friend with, and that's Jesus. So it may be hard. It may not be easy. It may not be convenient to be compassionate. But compassion is how we should live our lives. Our effectiveness as a Christian will greatly be enhanced when we let our compassion flow and grow and show in our daily lives. Fiorello LaGuardia was the mayor of New York City during the Depression and World War II. His nickname was Little Flower because he was short and he always had a carnation in his lapel. He was a very colorful character. He was beloved. He rode the fire trucks with the firemen going to the fires. He raided speakeasies with the police during the time of Prohibition. He took entire orphanages to ball games. And when the newspapers were on strike, he got on the radio and read the funnies to the kids. One cold night in 1935, he went to the court that was located in the poorest ward of New York City and dismissed the judge, sat behind the judge's chair, and he held court that night. An old woman in tattered clothing came before him for stealing a loaf of bread. Remember, this was during the Depression. She told LaGuardia that her son-in-law had deserted them and her daughter was sick and her two grandchildren were starving. The shopkeeper refused to drop the charges. It's a real bad neighborhood and she has to be punished. People have to learn that they can't just do this in this neighborhood. LaGuardia sighed and turned to the woman and said, I have to punish you. It's the law. There's no way out of it. So he said, $10 or $10 in jail. But at that same time he was pronouncing that, he was reaching into his pocket and pulled out a $10 bill and dropped it into his hat. He says, oh, it seems like the fine has been paid, so this case is concluded. But he says, I want now to propose a fine on everyone in this court right now, that everyone pay 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailey, collect the fines and give them to the defendant. The newspapers reported the next day that $47.50 was turned over to the bewildered woman who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. Everyone there, the shopkeeper, petty criminals, the policemen that were in the court, people who had traffic fines that night, all gave 50 cents to this person and gave the mayor a standing ovation as they forked over the fine. You know, sympathy sees and says, I'm sorry. Compassion sees and says, I'll help. When we learn the difference, we can make a difference in the lives of those around us. Our reactions and what we do in life show that we care for our fellow man. And when they see that we care for not only us in here, but those out there, that we can get their ear and hopefully care a little bit more for them and share Christ with them. A young minister had preached on caring one time, and a lady wanted to know who cared about her. He was greeting everyone as they left, and she kind of hung back, and she came up there, and she had a pencil and a pad, and she wanted to know who cared for her. And she said, you know, everyone says they do, but who really cares for me? And the young man said, oh, I think everyone does. They speak well of you and stuff like that. She says, well, put them on a list. Show me who really cares. And this kind of stumped him. It's kind of like taking a test, a surprise test. You know, the teacher opens up the class one morning and says, okay, a pop quiz. And everyone's mind just goes flat on him. And, oh, what are the questions going to be? Well, his mind just kind of went blank, and he thought of an illustration from his own life. His father had a lot of disdain for the church, made fun of the people, all those foolish Christians, and laughed at them and thought they were just the craziest people to believe in God and all that, and that's how he lived his life. But his mother took him to church, and of course from there he became a minister. But his father, later in life, was dying of cancer in the hospital. And one time, he went to visit him, and these were always very depressing because he knew he didn't have long to live, and he hated to see his father hooked up to all these machines. This once proud, powerful man was now at the mercy of all these things and was really fading away. And when he walked in, the room was filled with flowers. Wall-to-wall flowers. And as he looked at the tags, he recognized the people of the church. This family, and that family, and this person, and that person, had all sent flowers to this man who basically hated them, who made fun of them. And as he turned to his father, he could see tears in his eyes, and even though his father couldn't speak because of the machines, he could see in his eyes that his father finally understood what these people were about, that he finally understood the love they had in their hearts, and how they cared for even him, who turned his back on him and made fun of him. He could see it. Well, that was how he tried to comfort the lady. And as the lady left, she looked down at her list, and her list was still empty. She didn't really know who really cared for her. Will we sign her list today? Will we let someone know that we care, that we love them, that we share together in Christ, as brothers and sisters? Will we show people that we meet, that we care, that we love them, that we want them to have that saving grace through Christ that we all have, that we wish them well, and that we want them to be as happy as we are to be in Christ? Will we sign her list? I don't know what your condition is this morning or where you're at with God, but God cares for us and has compassion upon us, and we care and have compassion on others. I don't know what your needs are this morning, but if you have need, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.